שנכנס אדר מרבי משמחה. Sarm explain Adar is the lashon of Aleph Dar. Aleph Dar, which means the Alufo Shel Olam, that the master of the universe, the chief, the Aluf. Hashem, the Aleph, the one, the first, the only, is Dar, is dwelling in this world. And it's not by accident, it's not coincidental that because the month of Adar is so deeply entrenched in this way of thinking, in this way of living, that Hashem is present in what Chazal referred to as a Dira Batachton. Hashem wants to dwell down here in this world. Hashem doesn't want to dwell far away. Hashem is interested in being very much in this world. Alufa Shel Olam Dar. The master of the universe is Dar. He's dwelling in this world. Because of that, so it's not coincidental that we read the parshas of Truma and Tetzaveh, and again we read the story of building a place for Hashem in this world. We read the story of the building of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan and the Midbar, a place where an infinite God could fit into a finite house. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure it out. I don't understand, how could I build a house for Hashem? Alufo Shel Olam Dar. Hashem wants to dwell down in this world with us. And we're reading about how to construct such a place. But every single home, every single Beis Medrash is just as much a Mikdash Ma'at, is a minor temple, is a place that we're trying to figure out how to create a space for Hashem in our lives and in the world. And I can tell you from my own personal experiences, my own limited personal experiences, when my wife and I were, one of the amazing things about getting married in a Jewish community is that Lamaisa there, Chalila, I don't really mean this, but this is reason enough to stay from, you know, if you're part of a good Jewish community, then you have like your community will buy you your whole wedding registry. Ein davar kaza, with that, they have wedding registries, it's not the same thing. It's not the same. And I remember going around in the Alterheim, going around in the local Bed Bath and Beyond with one of those guns that they give you, this like a laser gun, and you walk around and you say, I want these plates and I want this set of, you know, pots and pans and this set of linens and this. Mamsh, my favorite section was the Beyond section. Gaval. But as we were going around, we were going around, and every single place that we were going, I would say, the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, boom, laser for the Shabbos dishes. And every single thing that we were getting for house, the linens, and somebody came over to me this week, and Baruch Hashem, the Jewish people are doing Shnai Mikra, you know? So a Jew came over to me this week, and he said, you know, the parsha's a little hard, it's a little bit, I'm not even going to say the word that he used, the B word, it's a little he said, it's a little. I said, you know, when my wife and I went to go get our little house together, it was really, on the one hand, it was just utensils and plates and linens and towels and soap holders, and it's not so interesting unless it's yours. If it's you, meaning if what you're building is your house, and you are mechubar to that. You are connected. If you're if it's something to do with you, so then every single one of those things is mole simcha. Shenichnas adar marvim besimcha. When we're reading the parshios of Truman Tetzav, it's really a test. How much is Hashem in your life? How much is Hashem in our life? How much do we find simcha in reading these parshas of Truma and Tetzaveh? And read the story again and again. First it's like, here's what you're supposed to do. And then they did it. And then there's a counting of all the things that they did. It's what you're going to do, what they did, and then like a rehashing of like what they did from their perspective in the past. Meaning our perspective, both the second and the third reading are in the past. But from their perspective, we have like telling them what they're going to do, them doing it, and then Moshe like saying, you did it. And mamish the same words over and over again, the same kalim, the same... And if you're finding it boring, if I'm finding it boring, if we're finding it, chalila, not related to us, it's only because we don't see ourselves as part of that alufa shel olam dar. Hashem dwelling in our place, but there's such a simcha. The simcha that we're feeling and you see all around in Yerushalayim and in every Beis Medrash in the world is the simcha of whether we're aware of it or not, whether we're having difficulty reading the Shnayim Mikra or not. Hashem is coming into our life in a very real way. That's also why I once thought, you know, Rav Tzadok often tries to explain why certain pieces of Gemara are found in certain places, like, for example, Moed Katan. In the third parak has all the laws of Avelus. Ma kesher bein chol ha-moed la-avelus. You have to figure that out. That's homework. You have to figure that out. Or Chorban Beis HaMikdash and Gittin. That one's a little more obvious. So I once thought that, you know, the fourth parak of Maseches Megillah is all about Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It's all about building the Beis HaMikdash. Same in that we're reading the parshios of building of Aleph Dar, Alufa Shel Olam Dar, of having a Dir B'Tachton for Hashem to dwell down in this world in our Beis HaMikdash. And the whole Inyan of building the Beis HaMikdash, we'll talk more about this after we daven a little. But the whole Inyan of building the Beis HaMikdash is to come from the place where you are, to give your Machzit HaShekel, to give your little piece. Not that you can't give a whole thing, but to give your little piece of the Beis HaMikdash. I have to talk about what that means, but person has to, their avodas Hashem, a person's avodas Hashem has to be personal, has to be their own. Has to be their nigin, it has to be their chidushei Torah. They have to be a chidush that there never was in the world before. Your style of writing and your style of speaking and your style of davening is on the one hand this paradox of you have nothing except for what your Rebbeim gave you, as evidenced every time I have the opportunity to be in the presence of one of my beautiful, beautiful teachers. And you have nothing, you're literally just receiving from them, but the way that you receive it from them, the sum total of all of Jewish history which comes into you, is expressed in a way that's a chiddush she'ein kamo ba'olam, in a way that never ever was before in the world. And the sooner we begin to understand that, the sooner we can start to realize that you can't fool anyone. We can't fool anyone. We're either bringing into the world something that never was before, but is at the same time ancient and rooted al taharas hakodesh on things that came before us, or we're just parroting something that already was, or and it's difficult to have simcha in that. The aluf shel olam, the aleph is dar. In my life, in a way, it's not in anyone else's life, because I have unique struggles, because I have unique talents. And that's a hard thing to come by. It's not something you come by easily, but it comes with a lot of tefillah and a lot of learning. sometimes even a second year in yeshiva. Or a third.
Da 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 da.
Saying before is not just about bringing Hashem into your life, but bringing Hashem into your life in a way which is unique to you. A very important essay from the Or Gedaliah from Rav Gedaliah Shor. Rav Gedaliah Shor says that in the donations of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not in Parshas Truma, but it's no gay. It's really in the recounting. So he says, in the donations to the Beis HaMikdash, of course everyone gives a half shekel. And even though before I said you give your half shekel, the half shekel really is the same for everybody. It's the same half shekel. The Ashir is not allowed to be Marbeh. And the Dal, the one who's poor, is not allowed to lessen his amount. But there are things in the Beis HaMikdash, there are a lot of different things. There's gold, there's silver, there's nechoshes, there's skins of animals, and there's wood, and there's all these different things. So Sfarim say that each of these materials that were in the Beis HaMikdash are not just materials, they're personality traits, they exist within the neshama as well, they exist within the realm of nefesh. So for example, like one of my dear friends and I, we were talking about, Sam and I were talking, I don't remember, the days all blurred together, is it yesterday? Yesterday we were talking about how gold, the shorish of gold and its supernal source is from the shorish of Yira. And the shorish of kesef, of silver, comes from a lashon of kisufin, of yearning, comes from love. Comes from the side of ahava. Kisufin, of yearning. And everything in the Beis HaMikdash, those are just two examples, but everything in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a whole sefer from the Ramchal, how every single kli in the Beis HaMikdash is miyuchad to a specific koach in the world, and how that's bringing Hashem into the world. Everything that was given to the Beis HaMikdash corresponds to a different thing in nefesh, in soul, on the level of soul. And when Moshe Rabbeinu goes over the counting of the Beis HaMikdash, there's an amazing thing that happens. The Torah has to tell us that after Moshe Rabbeinu looked into everything, it was clear that, you know, Moshe, with his Ruach HaKodesh, was able to see that nothing from the Beis HaMikdash was stolen. Nothing was misappropriated. You know, sometimes you have Chalil, you have a person. Maybe there's someone who's listening to this, I don't know. You know, I daven before we start, but everything should be heard the way it needs to be heard, so that just popped into my head, but maybe someone needs to hear this. A person who thinks that you could make money dishonestly and then you give it to the charity, it doesn't work like that. Or that you'll make money dishonestly, you'll go feed your children with that money. I don't want to say. What it does on a person, we all need to hear it. Everybody needs to hear that. needs to hear that. So that's the simple interpretation. Obviously, it's very important, but Rav Gedalia Shor explained in the Rav Gedalia that when Moshe Rabbeinu checked to see everything that was given to the building of the Mishkan, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't just that things weren't stolen on the level that I didn't take something from someone else's pocket. I didn't chas v'shalom take something that belongs to someone else, see something sitting on the table, some food or a pen or some paper or chalila money or something like that, and just take it because it happens to be sitting there. Person's desensitizing them. That, of course, that's you can't build a Beis HaMikdash like that. But on a deeper level, it means that nobody gave to the Beis HaMikdash something that wasn't theirs. In the sense that someone who decided to give gold to the Beis HaMikdash was giving from the shorish of his neshama, that he's a person whose shorish is in Gvura. A Kotzker type of Beishamanik. And a person who gave silver, he was giving from his nekuda, whatever his shorish and neshama is, which was overwhelmingly ahava, kesef, kisufin, yearning. And a person who gave nechoshes came from a place of nechoshes, of the stubbornness of nechoshes, and giving that in a holy way. And the person who gave tcheles was giving the inyan of malchus, or the inyan of giving over Tcheles Mordechai, was giving over the Indian of Tcheles. And each person was giving over, and nobody gave what didn't belong to them. That means nobody tried to give someone else's avodah to the Beis HaMikdash. It was so clear to me that my goal in this world, and again, maybe there's a lot of people who are giving gold, but even that, the way that I gave it, and where the money came from, and how I etched out every penny, and how it was moser nefesh to give from that savings account that I was planning on spending for something for myself, and I gave that to the Beis HaMikdash, I gave my avoda to the Beis HaMikdash. I gave my donation to the Beis HaMikdash, not someone else's. Bnei Yisachar has unbelievable jaw-dropping Torahs on the whole inyan of Mechias Amalek. Mechias Amalek and the whole inyan of what Amalek is. Amalek is trying. Amalek is called, Esav is called the Yisrael Mumar. It's a baffling thing to say the words. That Amalek is called Yisrael Mumar. That Amalek is trying to copy the avodah of, to say that really they're also chosen, and there's a whole religion of people who Mistama, they came from Judaism, and they claim that they're the new, I'm not saying that's a Malik. But the Bnei Yisachar says that the whole inyan of the difference between He and Kuf, the letter He and the letter Kuf, the same letter, a little bit different. A Malik comes to try to put its hands where they don't belong, on the throne of Hashem. Yad al Keska. Their hand is on the Keska. The Bnei Yisachar says Keska is the numerical value of 95. Keska. Keska. Kisei Ka. The throne of Hashem. Except that Amalek, because as long as Amalek's hand is on the throne of the chair, as long as Amalek's hand is on the chair, so Hashem's chair is not complete, his throne is not complete, so it's only case, it's not kisei. And it's only yudhei, it's not yudhei vavhei, case ka. There's an incompletion. Amalek has his hands on the chair of Hashem. Case ka is 95. 95 is Haman. 95 is the difference between kuf and hei. Bnei Yisachar says that kuf is spelled kuf vav pei, kuf, a monkey. It's mimicking Kedusha, it's mimicking holiness. And the whole inyan of the Megillah is this joke, this horrible joke, that Achashverosh is Hamelech. Hashem's name isn't in the Megillah because Ahasuerus is being a monkey, thinking that he is Hashem. He's parroting or monkeying, imitating everything that Hashem is doing. And the whole inyan of Esther going into the throne of Ahasuerus to ask Ahasuerus's permission to go into the throne room of the Melech, HaMelech. That on Rosh Hashanah we say HaMelech, and that feeling of HaMelech that's being replaced by this guy who can't even hold a few cups of wine, which is also the whole inyan. What a joke. Esther goes into his throne room, which is like the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to request of Hashem. The whole thing is a joke. It's kof. The whole inyan of Haman's ancestors is the inyan of taking the hay and drawing it down into a kuf, which is Amalek. Amalek is Amal Kuf. They're Amal, they're Amalus. Their work in this world is Amal Kuf. To try to make all of us pretend to be something that we're not. To act like something that we're not. Halavai, then, that should come out. Halavai shouldn't come out at all, but halavai should come out in a way where we're imitating, we're trying to pretend to be like our Rebbe, and we're trying to be like, instead of walking around the world, pretending and trying to be like some loser who happens to also have a lot of money, or some guy who thinks that he's going to decide for me what the latest trend is to wear, what clothing to wear. And especially for our sisters and daughters, that they're going to decide that we're going to walk around, we're going to try to dress like them when a Jewish woman is a bas melech, and a Jewish boy is a ben melech. We're going to walk around, we're going to pretend to be like a malik, right? Listen to what they want us to listen to in music, and we're going to look at what they want us to look at in looking at things, we're going to dress the way they want us to dress, and we're going to aspire for things that... And giving to the Beis HaMikdash, your nekuda, giving your thing to the Beis HaMikdash. Like my Rebbe always likes to... talk about the sasgona, the tachash, the animal hides, the skins. Rav Judah Michel always likes to, talk about the animal hides. That there was this very colorful sasgona, this animal called the sasgona, which only existed during the time of the very short period when the Mishkan was being made. And it's a lashon of sasgona. Rashi says sasgona, that it's sas. It rejoices in its colors, in its gavanim. Sasgona means it rejoices in its own cup. It was this very wild-looking animal, and that's what the top cover of the Mishkan was, because this was an animal that rejoiced in its unique struggle, in its unique gifts, without getting pushed over and intoxicated by the gaiva of Amalek. Amalek, the gematria Ram levavcha b'shachachta Hashem Elokecha, that your heart became elevated, became haughty, and you forgot God. So the sasgona is able to be proud of who it is, and is able to give its unique thing to the Beis HaMikdash without falling into the trap of gaiva. Like we learned the beautiful teaching on Monday or Tuesday, that the days that Purim can fall out on, the 14th of Adar can only fall out according to the way the calendar is set up. Is that the calendar, Purim can only fall out on Tuesday, Sunday, Friday, or Thursday. Just the Osios Gaiva. Comes to Mavatal Gaiva. Tuesday is 3, is Gimel. Sunday is 1, is Aleph. Friday is 6, is Vav. And Hey is Thursday, is 5. To be able to balance being proud of who you are, like that mystery that Rabbi Nachman all the time was saying, oh, do you know how lucky you are to be with me right now? I'm a pella that there never was like anything like me ever in the history of the world. and other such lashonos that if you would hear a regular person say that, you would probably, and sometimes people mistakenly read that and they say, who is this Rabbi Nachman? How could he speak like that? But a person who says that about a tzaddik just doesn't understand, first of all, they don't understand their own self-esteem, their own value, and their own worth, and how they should be saying the exact same thing about themselves. And that we should be saying that about each other. Do you know this yid? Do you know this my chavrusa? Now, it could be your chavrusa doesn't know how to read well, and it could be your chavrusa doesn't. But if we're able to descend into the nekuda tov of that person, which is the whole Indian of Purim, to go, like we also learned, to go into the garbage heap to take out the little pieces of gold that were put in there, to see the good in someone else and be able to say, do you know, sasgonat, do you see this person's unique color? There's no one in the history of the world who was ever like this person. Now, for some people that could become a very cliche thing, like, oh, there's never anyone like, but it takes a tzaddik, it takes a very special person to be able to connect to any Jew, to every Jew. It takes a lot of work to do it for yourself, and you know yourself best, and you know your... But to be able to see the unique gift of a person, and even if they seem like they're covered with all types of bruises and bumps and unsightly pagamim and mumin, the tzaddik has eyes to see. He's able to see. He has Purim eyes. He's able to see the Baruch Mordechai and the Arur Haman that you think you are. To help you to rejoice in your own chilek.
Yeah.
You'll notice that the Aron Kodesh, in terms of its size and the size of the poles, doesn't seem to be able to fit in the Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't seem to be able to fit in the Beis HaMikdash. Which is why the Gemara says that the place of the Kodesh Kedashim was Einam in Amida. It didn't go according to regular laws of measuring things. Yesterday, my wife and I, we live in Ramot, we have a lovely dwelling over there, little Beis HaMikdash. And we were zochet to have a new air conditioning installed in Eretz Yisrael, they call it a salon, in our living room. And so these workers came over and, you know, they go to put up the air conditioning and they take out levelers and measuring tape and they're like trying to figure out exactly what's the best place to put it and how big is it and does this fit and does that fit, and they put it up and then they realize, oh, that doesn't fit, so they take it down and they put it. In the Beis HaMikdash, at least in the Kodesh Kedashim, so if you do a simple calculation of the size of the Aron, together with the Badim, take the Kruvim into account a little bit, and the size of the actual Kodesh Kedashim, it shouldn't have fit. like the Gemara says, in the Kodesh Kedoshim, things are, they fit. In general, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a sense of things being able to fit. In Chabad Chassidus, they say that, you know, the Gemara says, in the Beis HaMikdash, people would stand, and when they stood, so it was like crowded, it was like a little hard, but when they would get down on the floor and they would bow, then all of a sudden, now if you lie vertically, if you're standing vertically, excuse me, so then you take up less space than if you're lying horizontally. And yet somehow, when they would lie down, it all worked. It's one of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash. So in Chabad, Sfarim, from the middle rabbis, they explain that when a person is standing, that means that they're still attached to the superficial level of what it means to stand with your back up straight, like we're talking about, to be sasgona, to rejoice in your colors. When you're standing up straight, so there's not enough room because there's so many egos in the room, it just doesn't work out. But when you lower yourself, when you're mevatel yourself, when you practice the Hasidic practice called bittel, and you realize that this has nothing to do with you, kol bar l'chavodo, everything was created for the sake of kvod shamayim, for the sake of kavod Hashem, which of course includes his nation and you as an individual in that nation. But sometimes we get it out of order, and we think of ourselves as the individual, and then if I have a little extra room inside of me, then I'll make room for someone else in the nation, and then if the nation can make some room, we'll make some room for Hashem. In the Kodesh Kedoshim, everything was l'malo min ha-teva, was l'malo min ha-mida, because the Aron, even though it wouldn't theoretically fit, but in the place, when you're standing lifnei Hashem, so you don't take up any space. There's absolute bittul in the presence of Hashem. Rabbi Nachman said to speak Torah from where you're at, so there's a lot of people in here who are set in the next few days to try to make a push, and many of you will succeed at finishing Maseches Megillah. And Maseches Megillah in the bookends, in the first parak and in the last parak, there's a decent amount of talk about the batlanim, asara batlanim. It's a Beferish Mishnah in the first parak. What's considered an ir gedola? Ezo hi ir gedola, the Mishnah says, kol sheyesh ba asara batlanim. You're not considered an ir gedola, because remember, in the first parak, there's all this discussion about it. You could read on the 13th already, you could read before that, on Yod Aleph, Yod Beis, Gimel, Yod Aleph, and Tesvav. So if you're from a small town, from the Krachim, so you're allowed to, on the Monday and Thursday, when you come into the Ir Gedola, you're allowed to already read the Megillah. So the Gemara has to qualify, what's an Ir Gedola? The Gemara says, Ezu Ir Gedola, Kol Sheyesh Ba Asara Batlanim. So I want to share with you a Chiddush. There's a passage in the Zohar, it's in Parshas Chayisara, that says, it's a funny thing. When we say Sarah's age, so she was 127. But when we refer to the bigger numbers, so she's Mea Shana. But she's Sheva, which is the lowest number, Shanim. We think that the bigger number should be in plural and the lower number should be, it's a single digit. It should be Shana. The bigger number should be Shanim. So the Zohar has this amazing comment that says, the one who is big is actually small, and the one who is small is actually big. That the one who makes himself or herself small is actually very big, and the one who tries to make themselves big is actually very small. Which is the secret of the one who's standing, people who are standing are trying to make themselves big, there's not enough room, because you're You're so big when you're standing. You're really so small. You're bothered by the next person who's next to you. There's not enough room for you because you're so small. When you're lying down flat and you make yourself little, then you could be a big person. Then all of a sudden there's room for everyone. Listen to this. Ezehu ir gedola. What makes a big city? Kol sheyesh ba asara batlonim. What are batlonim? Rashi says, the Gemara even explains, the batlonim are the people who were sitting around ready to daven at any moment. They were ready to stand omid lifnei Hashem, to be in the Kodesh Kedoshim of Shmona Esrei. Shachris min Chamar, they were there for anybody who needed to make a minyan. And the people who are there ready to daven are called batlonim, meaning lashon bittel, lashon of nullifying oneself. Ezu ir gedola, kol sheyesh bo asar batlonim. And everybody knows the story. Everybody knows the story of two people in Purim who got intoxicated, they got drunk. And one of them got up and killed the other one. The Gemara says that Kam Rabba b'shachat as Rabbi Zeira. Rabba means big. Zeira means small. That the inyan of Purim is to come to a place of bittul, so that you can kill this smallness, the smallness of being big. Come Rabba, the real Rabba, the real big person, the person who made themselves small and makes room for another, the person who's mevatel himself in front of Hashem. Come Rabba v'shachat es Rabbi Zeira. That the big person, the real big person, meaning the small person, comes and he shechts the small person, meaning the person who thinks that he's big. V'nahafachu. That's the real v'nahafachu. That's the real v'nahafachu. So Hashem should help us that we should be small. And so if we'll be small, then we'll really be big. If we make ourselves small, we'll really be big. To make yourself small doesn't mean to say you're nothing. In fact, it means to say there's never a chiddush like me ever in the world before. And the only way that could be possible, the only way that I could be absolutely 100% unique, is if the one who created all of us and anyone who ever lived has enough creativity and has enough chiddush that every single person in this room and in this city and in this country and in this world could do their own thing and still make room for another person because they know that they're really so small. And that is the secret of being big. To be a batlan. Not a batlan meaning you don't do anything, but a batlan knowing that you don't do anything. It's the same words, it's the whole thing. It's a das toveran, it's a chaim was one tree. Person can move past the Eitz HaDas and get into the Eitz HaChaim, so then you're saying literally the same words. You come across certain passages, and like I was saying before, in Sichos Haran, or Rabbi Nachman is saying things, you're like, that is the most gaivedic thing in the world, but you don't realize it's the humblest thing in the world. Because it's one tree, the Eitz HaDas Tovera. Big is small, and small is big, and Vina Hafachu, and everything is, and Haman is good, and Mordechai is bad, and everything could be the opposite. Because you come to the place of the Lo Yada. That all comes about through tefillah. So we have one more tefillah before we go upstairs for the formal tefillah. Aicha yomim nishle besuch.